Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 13. In this chapter, Jeremiah gives an object lesson, a parable, and a message as warnings to Judah of the coming Babylonian invasion. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water." So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, "Take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in the rock." So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, "Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there." Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it. And there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people, for renown, for praise, and for glory, but they would not hear." Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 13 with some background notes. We see in this first section of Jeremiah chapter 13 that the Lord directed Jeremiah to give the people of Judah a sign or object lesson as a warning of the future Babylonian captivity, which was coming because of Judah's rebellion and idolatry. So here in the first section of Jeremiah chapter 13, the prophet Jeremiah symbolically acts out a warning to the Jewish people about the soon coming invasion of the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar. Now the biggest question about this object lesson is whether or not, according to verse 4, the Lord required Jeremiah to travel all the way to the Euphrates River, which was several hundred miles away. That's a considerable long round trip for an object lesson. And then Jeremiah had to make the round trip again, as we see in verse 6. So in order to avoid all these travel miles, several alternative views have been proposed. One view is that this was all part of a vision that the Lord gave Jeremiah. But there is no indication in the text that this was merely a vision. Another view is that Jeremiah did indeed travel to the Euphrates River in Babylon, where Daniel and others were already in captivity, but he only made one round trip. He stayed in the area between verses 4 and 6 until the linen sash was rotted and ruined, and then he returned. A third interpretation, which is probably more likely, is that Jeremiah was directed to only travel a few miles north of his hometown of Anathoth to the site of Pera, where there was a deep wadi with crevices and rocks. In the Hebrew text, there is no word river here, and to Euphrates and to Pera are the same in Hebrew. This interpretation makes more sense in view of the fact that this was to be an object lesson to the people of Judah. Now, regardless of what view is taken, it is the content of the object lesson that is important, and that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 13. So, doctrinal point number one, God's rebellious people are like a ruined linen sash. God's rebellious people are like a ruined linen sash, verses 1 through 11. In this object lesson, Jeremiah was to wear a linen sash or belt or waistband and wear it for a certain amount of time in public. Then he was to take it to the Euphrates or to the site of Pera, which represented the Euphrates because of the similarity in Hebrew, and hide the linen sash in a crevice of a rock. After many days, Jeremiah was to retrieve the linen waistband, which was now ruined and worthless. Now, what was the meaning of this object lesson? The linen sash represented all of Israel. God wanted Israel to be close to him in fellowship and to represent him and reflect his glory. Verse 11. Linen was the material of the priestly garments, and Israel was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. See Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 in this connection. But Israel had failed in their responsibilities and became rebellious. Now there was broken fellowship with the Lord, and as a ruined and worthless nation, they would be sent to Babylon on the Euphrates for discipline. God's rebellious people are like a ruined linen sash. The same is true today. The Lord wants to have fellowship with his people as we represent him and reflect his glory. But when we rebel in areas of submission and obedience, and when we dabble in sin, our fellowship with the Lord is broken, and our testimony is like that ruined and worthless linen sash. And God must discipline us as he did his people Israel. God's rebellious people are like a ruined linen sash. Doctrinal point number two. God's rebellious people are like smashed wine bottles. God's rebellious people are like smashed wine bottles. Verses 12 through 14. Therefore you shall speak to them this word. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine. And they will say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle will be filled with wine? Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but will destroy them. Now, if Jeremiah dramatized this message, then it was another object lesson. But most likely, Jeremiah presented this message as a parable. In the parable, all the wine bottles were to be filled with wine, which at first might seem to represent times of prosperity, which the people liked. Verse 12. But Jeremiah corrected their wrong thinking and said the filled wine bottles represented the drunken, stupid, irrational behavior of the people. Verse 13. And they would be destroyed like broken wine bottles when the Babylonians conquered Judah. Verse 14. So we see that God's perspective of his people during times of prosperity is not at all positive if there is rebellion in the hearts of the people. We need to examine our own hearts, especially in times of prosperity. God's rebellious people are like smashed wine bottles. And doctrinal point number three, God's rebellious people are like a scattered flock of sheep. God's rebellious people are like a scattered flock of sheep. Verses 15 through 27. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. And while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and to the queen mother, humble yourselves, sit down, for your rule shall collapse, the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and no one shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you, your beautiful sheep? What will you say when he punishes you? For you have taught them to be chieftains, to be head over you. Will not pang seize you like a woman in labor? And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? For the greatness of your iniquity, your skirts have been uncovered, your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them like stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore, I will uncover your skirts over your face, that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you still not be made clean? In this message to the people of Judah, again there is the warning that because of Judah's pride and refusal to give glory to God, verse 15, darkness would overtake the nation, verse 16, as they were conquered by the Babylonians, who would strike from the north, verse 20. The king and the queen mother in verse 18 are probably King Jehoiakim and his mother Nehushta, that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8. They and all of Judah, including those in the cities of the Negev or far south, would be taken into exile by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in both 597 BC and in 586 BC, verses 18 and 19. At that time, Jeremiah says in verse 17, he would literally weep for the people because they would be like sheep without a shepherd. They were once beautiful sheep, verse 20. But now they would be scattered and captured and ruled over by the foreigners Judah had once relied on, verse 21. They would be like a woman in childbirth. Why? Because Judah had rebelled against the Lord and committed spiritual adultery, which, by the way, included literal adultery and prostitution, verse 27. And now Judah would reap what she had sown. The language of sexual assault is used in verse 22. Verse 23 indicates that Judah had reached the point of no return. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. In other words, Judah had reached the point of no return. Therefore, Judah would not only be like scattered sheep, but like scattered dust in the desert winds of Babylon, verse 24. This was their portion because they forgot the Lord and they believed in falsehood, verse 25. The same is true today. God's rebellious people are like a scattered flock of sheep. Now, what about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 13? Let's not be heartless preachers and prophets. Let's not be heartless preachers and prophets. We've seen more than once that Jeremiah was not a heartless prophet when he preached and pronounced God's judgment on the people. Here again in verse 17, we see that Jeremiah was not aloof or indifferent or detached or cold toward the people he had to warn. Verse 17 once again, "But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." Jeremiah was not like some preachers today who just pronounce the truth without compassion for their audiences. Let's be more like Jeremiah. Let's not be heartless preachers and prophets.